redeemed us from the curse of the law, that he made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the ministry of manner men, though it be with a man's covenant, that it be confirmed, no man disannulled or added thereto. 5:13. What does redemption mean? Christ has redeemed us, and who are the us's refer to? Christ has redeemed us. Hands on that. What's it end?
Redeemed has the carries the idea of buying something back.
That's right.
And so we were, which implies that we needed to be bought back.
Right.
You know, we were. We're in the slave markets of sin, and we've got to be redeemed. One that would bring us out of the slave market of sin is the blood of Christ, is the death of the cross.
And who is the us referred to here? Who does that include? It has that Tammy.
Well, he redeemed all born again Christians.
And
he provided the means for redemption. For those that would trust him.
Provided for all the world, that he redeemed us, trusted him as Savior Redeemer, from the curse of the law.
This is a different
thing. What's
this
then?
Redeemed. Every time I see that word, I think of the old years ago when I was growing up, we always had either hot bottles or cans that we could take back to the store and we could get. Okay. 5 cents, so we had to pay that initially when we bought the item, and then we could get it back. So they're redeeming those bottles and cans. Mm-hmm. So they don't do that much anymore.
No. Well, yeah.
And now you get 5 cents, but you have to pay like more than just pay like $1 or $2.
So people have been bought back from the slave market of sin. By the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed us from what? What do you redeem us from? Mr. Dan, is that one on the work up there? That thing there? What do you redeem us from?
Did it work last week?
Sin and death.
What is it?
Did it work last week?
I don't remember. Redeemed from the curse of the law.
What was it last week?
We didn't have
any Thursday Bibles.
No, we wasn't.
No, we didn't have any Thursday Bibles.
It was the last
Sunday.
The last time.
Okay, last time. All right.
Previous.
Redeemed us from the curse of the law. What law is referred to there? Yes, Dan?
The law of Moses.
The law of Moses. And being made a curse for us. Why is he made a curse for us in verse number 13? Questions at bftdc.org or 856. 261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Just say hello. Ask a question. Tammy?
Well, it says cursed, but is everyone that hangeth on a tree? We know the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And it talks about, I think, in the book of Deuteronomy. Uh-huh. I don't have my Bible, so I don't have my little notes on it.
All right.
But I think it was
Deuteronomy 21-23, I believe.
Okay.
Yes. And what is the F-O-R mean in this verse 13? After that.
Because.
In this, the four and the third line. For us. Anna.
That's right. Suggesting a substitution.
Substitution. In our place. For us. That's right. For us. And cursed there. So he took our sin upon himself on the cross of Calvary. The sins of the whole world. And those who trust him as their Savior. The lady I'm talking to tonight, she says at the age of 16, she believed in Jesus, trusted him, but she doesn't know really security at the present time. And she asked some doubts, questions. I said, well, if you don't want to go to that Southern Baptist church, which she doesn't want to go to anymore, listen to us here tonight, Bible for today, and give us a call. It's what? 8 o'clock every Thursday for Bible study, and then Sunday morning, 10 o'clock for preaching, and 1:30 for Bible study again. So, now, in verse number 14, what was the purpose of the Lord's pardon for
can I read those verses?
Sure, go ahead.
I looked them up. Deuteronomy, you gave me the reference.
Okay.
21, 22, and 23. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged on a tree is a curse of God, that the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So that parenthetical right there, for he that is hanged on a tree, hanged is cursed, accursed of God. That shows us what's in this verse.
That's right. He made a curse for us on our behalf so that we wouldn't have to be cursed. And those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are taken care of and not sent to the cursed place of hell and the lake of fire, but will be sent to heaven. Then in verse number 13, it says, redeemed us, first of all, cursed everyone. Now in verse number 14, what does the word that mean in this particular case? Yet, Anna? I mean, Tammy?
For this purpose, or for that purpose.
Right? For that purpose. What is the purpose? In order that, what? He was cursed, hanging on the cross of Calvary. For what purpose? According to this verse, 14. Bill.
To bear the sins of the world.
Right, for the sins of the world. Why? But this particular verse, 10?
So that the blessings of Abraham would come upon the Gentiles, which it talks about in the Abrahamic promise.
So this is important, that the blessings of Abraham are coming to the Gentiles. The blessings of Abraham was for the Jews, but also to be away to the Gentiles. Those that are not Jews and have blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. And then, what else? Who's the we referred to there in verse 14? That we. Who is that referred to? Questions at vftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. So who is the we referred to? Just us to write that we might receive the promise.
Right.
What's the we? Anybody? Comments on it?
Maybe.
Bill?
All believers.
All believers. Who else might it be referred to? The first part refers to the Gentiles, that we could be all believers. Who else might it be?
What's the question?
The we, who's that my first? It talks about the Gentiles, or could be we the Gentiles. Maybe it is we the Gentiles. What is true of that we?
Well, we know that the Apostle Paul would be included in the we.
Yeah.
So it's just those that are saved, those
right.
that trust the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right. And it could be including the Jews, Gentiles versus Jews, but saved people might receive what? What were the... Maybe this is our lady. Maybe it's not. Hello? Hello?
Oh, hi. This is your Bible class tonight?
Yes, it is. This is the lady I was talking to?
Yes, like maybe 30 minutes ago or so.
That's great.
It's about time to call.
Good. What is your name? What is your name? I forgot the name.
Lauren.
Okay, Lauren. Good. Well, thank you for calling. What can you do? Listening to us there?
Well, yeah, my connection is not very great, but I'm able to get a decent amount of it. I just didn't know if I should call at the end or not. Maybe you show your number.
Oh, it's on 856-261-9018. Yes, that's right. So you did call. That's good.
Yes.
Do you have any comments?
I'm trying to understand this verse myself, and I want this to be applied to myself, to my life.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I just have this current. I want it to be applied to myself as well.
Uh-huh.
So
Which verse?
That's what Christ puts the curse for us. Is that what you mean?
Verse 13?
Verse 13? Hang on, that's what. Made a curse for us. Well, that's good. So, trusting the Lord Jesus as your Savior, Lord Jesus was made a curse for you, for me, for everyone, because curses are done that hang about a tree, see? So, that the blessings, he's given blessings if we trust him, right? Trusting the Lord Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Anything else on that you'd like to talk about?
Other comment, maybe?
Well, I just wanted to ask just what does Christ's rejection, how does that apply to us as well?
All right, Christ's rejection, how does that apply to us? That's what she asked.
Well, I mean, the reason why we have to be redeemed is because we're unclean. As Lauren was mentioning earlier, we're unclean.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be a way by which we can be cleansed, complete.
Mm-hmm.
So God had made the way in providing salvation for us during the by means of the incarnation, God himself becoming flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would mean understood in verse 13 that Christ is the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that has redeemed us.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing else. And it's not none of our works. Nothing we can do. So he is the one that has died in our place. That's how he redeemed us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not by any works we can do. So we have the curse of the law. That's referencing the Old Testament. The law of Moses, all those things in the law, it could not save.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shadow of things to come.
All right, Lauren, any question about that further?
Well, no. I just
wanted
to ask if you guys
would
keep me in prayer.
All right.
Sure.
Lauren, you're from what state again? I forget.
South Carolina.
Keep you in prayer. And please try to tune into us Sunday at 10 o'clock. It's your time,
okay.
The same thing. We preach at 10 o'clock, and then at 1:30, we have a Bible study, and you can tune in, then you can ask some questions and talk to us again at 1:30. So please remember us, and we remember you too, Lauren. Thank you for calling. Appreciate that very much. Bill has something first. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, Lauren, if you tune in to us like now, it might seem a little complicated. It might seem a little difficult. But if you keep listening week after week, you'll be surprised. It starts to get easier.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Good to see you. Thank you for calling. God bless.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Wonderful. Let's wave to Karen. Wave to Karen.
Lauren.
In South Carolina. Wonderful. Got a number of friends in South Carolina. Do we not? So pray for her, and we hope that she'll be able to listen all right. She can't hear it too clearly, but thank you for your response.
On YouTube now. When she first tuned in, the major voice on YouTube.
Oh, now it's on YouTube, so you can turn YouTube.
I guess she has to know how to get to YouTube. So
that's it, YouTube. All right, so that was verse number, what was it, 13? 14? Yeah, the priest died on the cross that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. What did that precedent?
See, he was made a curse for us.
Yes,
so we
In our place.
So we were already cursed.
Mm-hmm.
And we could not redeem ourselves.
Right.
There's nothing we can do to redeem ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We can't, mankind, humanity cannot redeem themselves.
That's exactly right.
You know, they're only one that can redeem is
the Savior.
I'm interrupting Tammy's stuff.
No, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
Oh.
He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one
that can redeem. He's the only one that can redeem us. Through faith in him. He made provision for the whole world, but the possession is for those who trust him by personal faith in him. Absolutely. As it said to Lauren. So pray for her as well. Then you may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Who is the Spirit mentioned here? Any hands on that? Who is the Spirit? In verse 14, at 10.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Now, God the Holy Spirit, one of the persons of the Trinity. The Trinity. Anna?
Oh, well, it says the promise of the Comforter. The Comforter, the Paracletos, has come alongside us.
Uh-huh.
And comfort us.
The Comforter. He's the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter of those that are genuine Christians by faith. Then in verse number 15, brethren, who's that referred to in Scripture? Who is Brother Tammy?
Believers, fellow believers.
Fellow believers, fellow Christians. Now, brethren seem to be masculine, but many times this refers to brethren and sisters in the Lord. Brethren, all genuine Christians. That's right. Now, he speaks after the manner of men. What do you think that implies? I speak after the manner of men. Any hands on that? Questions at BATBC.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. I speak after the manner of men. What do you think that implies in verse 15? I speak after the manner of men. Silence.
Well, could it be related to the fact that the next phrase he says, though, would be a man's covenant?
Could be.
He's talking about the man's covenant.
Yes.
I can't explain it from that moment.
He's just speaking normal types of things, not too theological or difficult. But a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added. What does disannulleth mean? Adam?
I'm sorry, going back a minute.
Yeah.
He's saying even if it was just a regular covenant put together by men, like once it's set in stone, like it can't be, if it's confirmed, you can't say, oh no, that's not the case, and you can't add to it that once the covenant is made.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then that's saying if it be a man's covenant. But we're talking about a covenant that God made, so how much greater, how much stronger would the covenant
Hello?
Be?
Yes, hi, this is Lauren again. I have another question.
Okay, go ahead, Lauren.
Well, I was going to ask if you are familiar with this man named Derek Prince and his teachings about curses and blessings.
I'm not familiar with him. Pastor Danny,
familiar. I haven't heard of
it. So tell me about what did she say up there. Is it teaching properly or improperly?
Well, yeah, that's what I don't really know for sure myself. I thought that perhaps he was, but then I've heard people that I think have right criticisms about him that he's not teaching it properly. I guess I just was going to ask if you had read some of this stuff before and if you thought that he was not sound or teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that he was teaching from the original Greek and Hebrew. That seemed to be his emphasis, I thought.
Derek Prince, that's his name?
Yes.
It's possible that he may be taking an approach of looking at it as a dominion approach. Dominion theology. In other words, from the standpoint of the church is a continuation of Israel. And that's, I mean, I'm not just guessing, that's where his approach might be. Now, we don't believe, we believe there's this distinction between Israel and the church. And the curses and blessings, you know, that's dominant Old Testament teaching. Not that we don't have curses and blessings in the New Testament, but you're carrying over a principle that belongs in the Old Testament, is dominant in the Old Testament, a dominant Old Testament principle, and apply that to the New Testament, that may not be the proper approach to take. But apart from that, there's curses, there's blessings. What we do have, we do know the blessings of Abraham can be passed upon us, the trust in Christ. Well, we see that here in the book of Galatians, the blessings of Abraham. I think that's in that's coming up in this chapter, or it was the previous chapter, we passed upon us because of what, you know, we see his faith. We see the faith of Abraham. And his faith is counted for righteousness. We too must have faith. It's an individual thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's an individual thing. So we don't want to necessarily get to, I mean, it's an interesting principle, the blessings and the cursings, But we have to understand it always comes back to faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us upon the cross of Calvary.
All right, well, thank you for that. But now, forget her name again.
Lauren,
what are some of the doctrines that this man teaches? Can you remember anything that we can understand so we can see if it's true or false?
Well, he's charismatic. I know he believes in speaking in tongues.
Oh, okay. Right there, we just read it in completely. Tongues are just for the Book of Acts in the early days. Well, what else does he teach? I don't agree with that. That's false. What else?
He believes that you can be healed today. He can just pray for you and you can be healed today.
The healing. Oh, we wouldn't agree with that. Though sometimes the Lord does heal, but the power of healing was in the New Testament earlier. The Lord does sometimes heal. Pastor Dan has some of
them. We have this, these are the so-called sign gifts.
Yes.
That were just for a short time. Mm-hmm. And the Jews seek after a sign. And that sign, the sign gifts were limited to the time when the canon was still, the canon of the scripture, sometimes referred to the scripture as the canon, was still open before it was closed. Mm-hmm. Scripture has been completed. Mm-hmm. There's no more scripture that has to be, that scripture is complete. There's no more scripture coming. Mm-hmm. And consequently, there's no more longer a need for the sign gifts.
Right.
Now, in 1 Corinthians 13, these things fail. You know, we have the thing that endures is charity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, charity is the thing that endures. But all these, the sign gifts pass away.
Right.
And they pass away at the completion of the canon. The complete, when the Bible was completed around 100 AD, a little before 100 AD.
Laura?
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. Now, from those two things you said, it agrees that currently the speaking in tongues are still with us, and that's proper. And because of the other thing that he taught, that the special faith type of healing, somebody can just lay hands on it automatically, like a miracle healing. From those two doctrines, I would say stay away from it. He's false in those two areas, according to our principles of the Scripture. Have you listened to him quite often? You bought his
book? Yes, I have. I mean, I always thought he was a very humble, quiet man.
Uh-huh.
I thought that a lot of his teachings seemed to be wise and seemed to just make kind of common sense. I thought,
Well, he probably is humble and he probably makes common sense, but those doctrines here, doctrines that we do not believe are with us today, and he's, I don't know, maybe some other doctors you know of that we can...
Is he from Tennessee or from California?
Is he from Tennessee or California?
No, he's from England.
From England.
Okay. Well, we don't want to be too hostile, but those are two things. We don't believe the scriptures are clear at this particular time on speaking in tongues and healing by miraculous healing just by touching someone or something. Anna's got a comment.
Anything that you look at that's written by man or spoken by man, you have to be discerning and put everything in the light of Scripture. I mean, even something that I say or someone else here in this room says might not be in line with Scripture. You might be saying something that's wrong. So I guess the Scripture is the final authority. So no matter who you're analyzing.
He may be Pentecostal.
Or maybe Pentecostal.
But that doesn't necessarily mean his doctrine of salvation is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that we do disagree with that believe sign gifts are still intact today. There's like three or four different views of the sign gifts. But sometimes he can still be in the realm of have a proper view of salvation. I don't know. But
Yes, with Anna.
Well, just as an example, if we are aware of a single-issue society that it has various differing views on certain topics, such maybe music or other things. So sometimes if people are, it depends, some people may agree on one doctrine, and then there may be other doctrines on which they disagree, and then those people may agree with someone else about those doctrines, but then the other doctrine they disagree about. So it's I'm not explaining very well because I'm not being very particular in my descriptions. I'm sorry.
This is great to Tammy.
I would be really concerned with the fact that you believe he's charismatic, because the charismatics are like a one world church movement, and they essentially want to unite all the denominations and even with others. So I would be very, very careful with anything that anyone that calls themselves a charismatic could teach. I mean, a lot of people do come through charismaticism, or however you want to put it, and but, you know, hopefully the Lord will give you discernment and lead you away from that into more clear understanding of the doctrine of biblical separation.
Okay. Her name is Shannon.
Lauren.
Lauren, is there anything else we can help you? Thank you for your call. We appreciate it very much.
Yes. Well, I guess I should get rid of this man's stuff, his books. I just thought he was, I thought he was humbly approaching the Word.
Yes. Well, they can be humble, and that stuff will be a scriptural
support. He could be humble,
yes,
but humbly wrong.
Right, humble, humbly wrong. That's good. That's
good. Well, then, I would like to ask you, I would pray for the Lord to deliver me and start his teaching and anything,
yes,
anything that came to me from that, I don't know.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow, Lauren.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Oh, that's wonderful. But I asked people to call. Nobody calls. I asked you to call, you called. So you're an unusual gal. Unusual.
No, we like it.
We like it very much. We like it. On Sunday at 10 o'clock, we'll be preaching. We'll be preaching just regular. But on 1:30, we have a Bible study. A question that's just like this. You can call in at 1:30, your time or our time. And we're talking there on the Bible study in what chapter?
First Corinthians,
it is, yes.
First chapter.
Okay, well, God bless you. Thank you for calling. Have a good evening. Yes, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. Another call.
Hello? Hello?
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, Jim.
Hi. The audio's coming through fine, and you can
maybe you do just like it. Sometimes they censor it. Bible believing Christian groups.
The audio is fine, but the picture's
picture is shaking.
Shaking.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ron. Sorry about that. But thank you for letting us know, Jim. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim. BibleForToday.org should be okay. You might be downstairs. It's out of Jim.
I'm not nervous,
I'm just shaking. Okay. So, Stephen McIntyre made the statement about biblical separation.
Yes. Want to describe that briefly?
Biblical separation is, there's two aspects, two primary governing aspects of biblical separation. You have ecclesiastical, the fancy word for church separation.
Mm-hmm.
Like we know there's clearly certain churches that have to be stayed away from.
Right.
The major church is a problem. You can't even call it a church. You have the institution of Rome. You have other churches that are compromising and are going wrong in modernistic churches. So many times you hear the big word Protestant, the mainline Methodists, the mainline Baptists, the mainline Lutherans, all these different ones. Now, there's certain sectors of Presbyterianism, certain sectors of Lutheranism, Missouri Synod Lutheran and so forth, and in some instances when you have, but nonetheless, you have to have a church, pure church, and you can't have your local church hooked up with all the churches in the town, because the majority of the churches in town are apostate and modernistic.
Right.
That's ecclesiastical separation.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to avoid the personal separation after this call.
Hey, go ahead, Rick. Oh, my. Rebecca, hello.
Hi, Rebecca.
Okay, Rebecca.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
yes, I just wanted to maybe pass a message on to the women golden Lord.
Lauren, yes, Lauren.
Yeah, she's from South Carolina, and Eden and I are both in South Carolina, and Lauren, we're in the Holly Hill area. I don't know where you are located, but if you are local or nearby, I'm more than willing to
sit down and talk and go over possible issues with you and doctors, and sedation and all of the things that might be behind the word.
Yes.
And remember, you can call Pastor Lee later on and get my phone number if you are local in the Holly Hill, Orangeburg area. So I just wanted to extend that invitation. Thank you for watching.
Well, very good. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Rebecca.
Rebecca Howell. So give me a call. So Sharon.
Lauren,
okay. Lauren, call me after this class is finished, and I'll give you Rebecca Howell's phone number, and she told her where she is, and you can talk to her and maybe visit together. You're in the same state. She knows the Word of God, and she can help you very greatly, I'm sure. Okay. Thank you for calling. All right. So in verse, Pastor Dan, we want to finish that.
Do you have a comment?
Oh, yeah, but go ahead and finish.
No, I don't want to
interfere. No, it's fine. I can say it. I've been saying.
I guess the other aspect of separation is a personal separation.
personal
separation.
I'm sorry. Yes, Wendy. Go ahead.
Hi, Pastor. What was the gentleman's name?
Prince?
Jim Cannata.
No, Darren Prince.
Derek Prince
from England, I think she said.
From England.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Oh, she, the call got dropped.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Can you tell me the man's name that Lauren mentioned, that charismatic guy?
Derek Prince.
Okay.
I'm glad she called. That was
so
great.
I'm thankful that I'm going to meet up with her and stuff, but I can't. He said, I definitely would have
red
flags with anything charismatic because it can
drive
you down the wrong road.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. That's a good comment. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Let's wave to Wendy Fawcett there. Let's see. All right. That's fine.
Finish what you
said.
Since we have the personal separation aspect, that's as an individual, what do I have to do to be separate myself to Jesus Christ and separate myself from the world?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's certain people perhaps I should associate with closely.
Right.
There are certain things I should be doing. And there's certain things I should be doing, and certain people I should be associating myself with. So it's just on a personal level of what I have to do. You know, it's just not. See, the one thing what a church needs to do, another aspect what an individual needs to do.
Good. So,
I was going to comment on the blessings of Abraham.
All right.
Because in Genesis chapter 12, it says. The Lord said to Abraham, in verse 1, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee, and will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. In verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So there is you know, how we're actually... I think it says something in Galatians earlier, how we become part of, by faith, we receive those blessings.
The girl's name is Vincent.
Lauren.
Well, I got the end, but Lauren. Now, Lauren, you can see in our church, we have this call, and people can call us in and tell us about things. And here, somebody from North South Carolina, same state as you're in, call and volunteer to talk to you, so it's amazing.
Someone from Massachusetts, some Minnesota, from Wisconsin.
People call, that's right. But you can see that's something, I don't know about other churches, but during the services, people could call in and they come. There may be many of them, but I don't know of any. But our church does that, and we do that on Thursday in our Bible study, and also Sunday at 1:30 in our Bible studies. So we hope that you two ladies can get together, South Carolina. Rebecca Howell is the one that told us. If you gave me a call, Lauren, is that it?
Yes.
We'll finally got it. Okay, all right, we're back in Galatians chapter 3, And we take it up to verse 14, and believe the promise of the Spirit. Speak after the man of man, but man's covenant, what does dis and null mean? Dis and null. Any hands on that? Tammy.
Makes it void or.
Okay.
Or makes it null, like an annulment. You know, when you have a marriage and then it becomes annulled and says, so you never had a marriage.
Yes.
Which excuse me.
Go ahead.
It reminds me of the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be changed.
Cannot be changed. Mm-hmm. Cannot be disannulled or changed. And though they man's covenant, Abraham, yet it be confirmed. What is confirmed?
I think when it says, if it be a man's covenant, isn't that more referring to it? We're talking.
Abrahamic covenant?
No. We're speaking in terms of a normal covenant, and then I think we're saying, how much greater is the covenant that God makes?
Yeah, that's pretty. That's the man's covenant. It's not a normal covenant. This word confirmed means what? Hands on that. Confirmed.
Well, I guess you have an agreement with someone.
Yes.
You sign on the dotted line.
Right.
So it'd be, somehow both parties agree to the covenant.
Can't be disannulled. So that's like marriage almost, till death us apart. Many times that's disannulled. It shouldn't be, but that's what it is, divorce. I guess we'll start Lord willing next Thursday in verse 16. And any other comments or questions before we close tonight? Thank you very much for coming. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank thee that we can discuss these things in the Scriptures. We thank thee that others are listening to us in different states. And thank thee for Lauren, that's your name. I hope we got it right. Is it Lauren? I hope that you can contact Rebecca Howell there in the same state of South Carolina. And bless us and use us. Help us on the Lord's Day as we preach thy word. And also as we have a Bible study on for you to guide us and direct us. We thank thee for our Savior that loved us and died on the cross to die for our sins, that we might trust him and have everlasting eternal life. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen.